Are we supposed to get married?
I'm going
to
just swipe
left. I just want somebody to share my life with. People are going to do the do when they want to do the do. I'm not going to shame you into not having sex.
You can keep waiting for the fairy tale, or you can get on board with the new rules of relationships. If you've read my advice in the LA Times, then you know this ain't your mama's love advice. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman. Welcome to the show, lovers. I know there's a lot happening right now in the world, and you might be feeling, like me, a little anxious and overwhelmed. But I hope today's episode will give you information, inspiration, and leave you feeling empowered. I'll begin today with a little bit of good news. You might remember Kyle and Olivia from the Bumble Blueprint episode last month. Well, I just received the incredible news that they got engaged. If you haven't heard the episode, I really encourage you to go back and listen. But their inspiring story should remind all of you that love in the time of COVID is absolutely possible. Dating apps can work for you, even if you feel like you have failed on them a million times before. And there really are people out there still seeking partnership and commitment, if that's what you're looking for. Today's episode is meant to inspire you to keep going and keep dating in these uncertain times, in spite of the surge in new cases. You see, Dr. James Simmons of the Ask the NP Instagram and platform stepped off the front lines of fighting the battle against COVID to tell us if it's really that bad out there and how you can date safely in spite of the surge in new cases. But first, we'll keep it light to get you going with a couple of hot headlines. Is there hope for you if Drew Barrymore is getting stood up on dates? And 21 dating goals to help you flirt differently in 2021. Plus, in Dear Damona, I'll answer your questions like, has everyone forgotten how to have a normal conversation these days? And fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Should you give him another shot? So much to discuss today. So let's get on with it. And Dish.
D's dating Dish.
Well, the news was all a flurry with the revelation that Drew Barrymore, the Drew Barrymore of the Drew Barrymore show, got stood up by someone she met on a dating app. And y'all were blowing up my inbox since some of you know I am the love expert on the Drew Barrymore show. And everybody's like, what? What did this happen to Drew? How come you didn't save her? How come she couldn't have avoided the same fate? That happened to me. I can't believe it happened to Drew. And y'all want the real scoop. So bottom line, first of all, you should know this is not the first time Drew has talked about it. She's talked about it in at least two episodes that I did with her this season. She's talked about it in other media. So this isn't new news, okay? She just happened to discuss it in a conversation with Nikki Glaser, and then all the media outlets picked it up. But this happened a while back. Drew has dealt with it. She has processed it. She still loves love. She still is confident in being able to find love in today's world. But, you know, she's not so fast to go on the dating apps again because of the situation. So here's the big takeaway for you. Most of my clients who I'm actually coaching, I was not working with Drew at the time that this happened, they don't get stood up on dates. And I know that this is an epidemic. This had been happening, especially pre-COVID, on the regular to people, but it wasn't happening to my clients. And I want to tell you why, because there is an element that I think a lot of people are skipping when they're meeting someone on a dating app. And you know, you think Drew Barrymore, who's not going to show up for a date with Drew Barrymore? But you know, people have their feelings. Like Nikki Glaser said to her on the episode, that guy was probably intimidated, which is probably true. But let's not even get caught up in worrying what that other person's side of the story is. Let's just focus on how you can gain the skill set. Remember, dating is a set of learned skills. We're going to get you the skill set so that you aren't one of the people that fall into those statistics. So I'm going to give you three steps on how not to get stood up on a first date. Number one, have a phone call or video chat. But I like the phone call. I'm just so tired of video chats. I mean, aren't you? Really? You can do a phone call before the date. Because what that does is it takes you from being basically an avatar, an icon in a phone, a picture, and a couple words on a screen to actually being a real person. And people feel accountability to real people as you can see from the Instagram society that we live in, people feel no accountability to whatever they say online. They feel like they can say anything, do anything, and it has no consequence. Because most of the time, let's be real, it doesn't for most people. So we can do better. We can take responsibility for how we behave, and we can make ourselves more than just the name and the phone. You've heard me say this before. If you are nervous about sharing your real phone number, there are lots of services out there that can help you mask your phone number, like TextNow, that will give you an alternate phone number that you can use just for dating. But do the phone call or do the video chat. Do a short check-in that adds more context to the person being able to meet you. Number two, build anticipation. So I have my clients do this little trick. If you've set a date that's maybe a week or so out. We'll be talking today about how to date safely in COVID. Maybe you're waiting for the results of a COVID test. I don't know. Maybe they have to self-quarantine. I don't know. You might have some time that goes between the time you set the date and the time the date happens. In that time, what are you doing? You're in there swiping. You're in there chatting with other people. You're trying to set up the next date, right? You have to assume that the other person is doing the same thing. They're not sitting around being like, I wonder what that date's going to be like on Sunday. Now, we can get mad about it and say, like, why isn't that person thinking of me day and night? Or we can just recognize that they're doing the same thing that we're doing, and we need to, you know, play the game a little bit to give ourselves the best chance at success. So what you do is you send what I call a callback text 1 to 2 days before. So reference something that you talked about on your phone call. Remember the phone call or the video chat? Yeah, that already happened. So you can reference that or something that you texted about or something in their profile in a text and say, oh, can't wait to meet your dog. Can't wait to talk more about, I don't know, skiing. Something that you connected on, like, did you see the finale of Bridgerton? Oh my God, I can't wait to talk to you about it. Whatever it is, call back something you already connected on. And then also make a sort of projection to the future by saying, can't wait to talk to you about it. One, it's a reminder that you've connected. Two, it's a reminder of what you've connected about, because just as many people as you have in your match queue, they have that many as well. And it sets you up for a jumping off point for the conversation. It builds that anticipation. Number three, don't give away the magic over text. This is the biggest mistake that I see people make pre-date, is they share everything over text. And I don't know, I haven't talked in depth to Drew about this. I don't know if she was texting this guy back and forth. I would bet she probably did, which made him get his need met of like, hey, I'm talking to Drew Barrymore. But then he was super scared to meet her. And I'm sure some of your dates are super scared to meet you because they're caught up in the fantasy. And if they actually meet you, or if you actually meet them, the fantasy bubble has popped. And then it is what it really is in real life. So if you hold back a little when you're texting back and forth, don't text every single day leading up to the date. You're sucking all the air out of that first date. Just send a couple texts, those check-in texts, maybe the callback text. And then if they are trying to engage you in between the date, just tell them, oh, I have a really busy week, but I can't wait to see you. Keep reminding them that you're really excited to see them and that it's not just, you know, a number in your phone. It's actually you're excited to see them for XYZ reason or to talk about XYZ thing. All right, Bustle's got you covered for 2021. They have 21 dating goals that will change the way you flirt. I loved this article. And again, it reminded me that you're always learning and evolving, and you can shift a little bit of your dating plan, a little bit of your dating process, the way you approach it, and get a completely different result. But this was just a good reminder. If you're feeling stuck, check out the link to this article in the show notes, because I'm not going to go over all 21 of the ideas, of course, but I just want to point out a couple of them because it can really, these little changes can make a big difference for you. Number one, update your dating profile. A friend of the show and former guest, Michael Kay from OkCupid, shared this point about how you can get a 200% increase in matches just by completing your profile. How many people are sitting here with a half-done bio or something from 2 years ago? And we talked a little bit about this last week, but you boost yourself in the algorithm when you make new changes, or on OkCupid, if you answer more questions, you get boosted in the algorithm more, because more questions means more information, means more matching fields, means better chance at success, of course. So update your dating profile. Honestly, this is like flossing. This should be done regularly, at least quarterly. If you're really, you know, really trying to make something happen, try it monthly, but don't just change it willy-nilly. Like, really use the information that you're getting from each picture you post to see how many people are liking, how many more swipes you get, how many more matches, how many more conversations. Really see how the changes you make shift your experience and use that in the love lab of your life, okay? Another tip I loved is to respond to text within 5 minutes. You know, a Google study said that the average response time on a text message today, you want to guess what it is? You want to guess? 90 seconds. That's the average. So that's text from your boss, text from your mom, text from your best girlfriend. That's everything aggregated. Then text from that dude you don't really want to meet. The aggregate of all that is 90 seconds. So what that tells you is if somebody is really interested in talking to you, they will respond in 90 seconds, or they're just playing games, right? We don't have to play games. I mean, I said a minute ago, play the game a little bit, but like, we're not playing games with people's emotions. I meant playing game. The game meaning you're in the flow. You're making moves, okay? So if you try to respond to text more quickly, which I actually have said to clients before, not just because of the 90-second rule, but because it's such a speed game now. The speed of dating is so fast that if you wait 2 days to respond to that person, they may have told a whole story in their mind about what you're not interested, what else you're doing, what else you're thinking, and they may have mentally moved on. So don't put people through that. If you're interested, I mean, don't be thirsty, but if you're interested, respond within 5 minutes. That's like common courtesy. Okay, 5 minutes is kind of fast, but you know, you would do it if you were interested in somebody. Another tip, date someone who isn't your type. I'm not going to go all off on dating types. You've heard me talk about this a lot. But whatever you think your type is actually probably not your type. That is the thing that you're attracted to that is similar to the person you dated before, or similar to something you can relate to from your family of origin or your relationship role models. So switch it up a little bit. See what happens. I love this next tip. Talk to strangers. Y'all are not going to believe this. I have a client I've been working with for a couple months. We've been doing a lot of dating mindset. She's not huge onto the dating apps. So we did a little bit of dating apps. We talked to some matchmakers. We're kind of trying to find all the different avenues. We use the connector circle to find people that she could ask for setups. But in the midst of that, we also did some mindset work to clear her past beliefs about relationships and set new dating goals. And it gave her a little bit more confidence. And you would not believe, in the midst of COVID, wearing a mask, she met a man at a store. And she just told me they are now dating in the midst of COVID. So it can happen. And if you're willing to talk to strangers, masked or unmasked, there's still hope. There's still hope. Last one I'll give you before the break. Hype yourself up before you crack open your laptop. Head out for a socially distanced date. Take a second look in the mirror and hype yourself up. You could even get motivational and give yourself a quick mantra. A friend of the show, Dawoon Kang, who's the CEO of Coffee Meets Bagel, who was on the show way in the beginning of Dates and Mates and way in the beginning of Coffee Meets Bagel, said, some great ones are, wow, I look great, or I'm going to have fun getting to know this person. And that can help you shake away pre-date jitters. I love that one. I'm all about the self-talk, the positive self-talk, and the hyping yourself up. And speaking of hyping yourself up, that is exactly the focus of my upcoming program, The Dating Secret Circle. This is a completely new program. It's totally different from any other dating coaching experience that I've seen out there, because I believe that visualization and intention coupled with decisive action is the best way to make your dreams a reality. That is why 90% of the people in my VIP coaching program, like the person I just told you about, end up in a relationship within 3 months. You have to believe it's possible. You have to be able to see that future partner coming into your life, and you have to align your actions with that intention to make it happen. So that is why the Dating Secret Circle is where I will share the secret sauce of mindset, law of attraction, and energetic transformation to take you from just slogging through the apps to actually making a connection. So if you feel like you're doing all the steps, you're swiping like mad, but you still haven't been able to make a real connection, or you're exhausted, overwhelmed, or discouraged by wasting time on the wrong people, if the uncertainty in the world right now is just dominating your thoughts and preventing you from even thinking about dating, then join me. The Dating Secret Circle is exactly what you will need to refocus your mind on what's really important and give you actionable tools, exercises, and accountability to make it happen in 2021. Registration is now open at thedatingsecret.com. That's T-H-E, datingsecret.com. The program begins January 20th. So don't waste another minute. Make your relationship goals a reality this year. That's thedatingsecret.com. Check for the link in the show notes. We'll be back and talking about healthy dating strategies with my friend, Dr. James Simmons. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. Oh, I am so excited to invite my next guest back to the Dates and Mates show. Dr. James Simmons is a hospitalist NP in Los Angeles. He's the founder of the online community Ask the NP, everything you're scared to ask your MD. Dr. James is also the host of a health-focused, nationally syndicated talk program on Channel Q for radio.com, which just launched. He recently posted a video from the front lines that went viral. It attracted the attention of tons of media outlets, Good Morning America included. But of course, he was not too busy to swing by and talk to his old friends at the Dates and Mates podcast. So please help me give big smooches to Dr. James Simmons. So for those who are listening, I can't even imagine any Dates and Mates listeners would be these folks. But there are still some people that are like, COVID is a hoax. COVID is just the flu. COVID is not just the flu.
Oh, man.
You've been practicing 10 years, right? Over 10 years.
I have. Well, and here we are 10 months, really, since we've been in lockdown.
And I'm sure my listeners are thinking, like, I've been totally isolated for 10 months. I still want to date. I still have a desire for a relationship. So what am I supposed to do? So I just stay home, just turn the light out, put the shade down, and go to sleep for another 3 months until maybe I get the vaccine. But there must be some ways that you feel like people can sort of gauge the risk if they are meeting new people and dating so that we don't have to fully be isolated, whether it's using technology or whether it's social distance dating. What would you recommend to a patient that is really, really deeply desiring a connection right now?
We live in this world right now of absolutes. We're so polar. And polarized, I guess is the right, we're polar. We're polar bears where it's cold in the North Pole. No, we're so polarized right now.
I am wearing my UGG boots right here. Right. So.
Are you? Because it's cold. It's chilly. I think that this is one of those situations where you have to be willing to have a nuanced conversation. And this is why I bring up polarization right away. Because right now, everyone is so into being right or wrong. I'm just as guilty as everybody else, right? So, you know, my candidate is right or wrong, or the thing I believe is categorically correct and everything you're telling me is a lie or false or whatever. When it comes to our relationships and our interpersonal connections with people, we can't be so black and white. We can't be so polarized. If you live in, Cincinnati, Ohio, you are in a categorically different state right now than physically and in situation than Los Angeles, California. It's still bad. It's still a pandemic. It's still impacting everyone. But you probably are under some different types of shutdown orders. You probably have different responsibilities to your community because the pandemic just isn't as bad right now in Cincinnati as it is in Los Angeles. So then knowing that and knowing your own personal risk situation. So obviously, you know, If you have get coronavirus, COVID-19, and you get a high viral load inside of your body, you're super contagious to other people. So when you go to Whole Foods or the whatever store, or even if you're out running and you're breathing that virus all over, if you're running around a bunch of people, that makes you dangerous to others, even if you're safe yourself. But let's say you live alone and you're young and maybe otherwise healthy, and there's someone else who maybe lives alone and they're young and otherwise healthy. I think it's great to have a conversation about, can we quarantine? Can we then get tested? Can we stay quarantined? Okay, cool. Now let's meet in person at a park somewhere outside and have a cute little romantic picnic. I think people can have those types of conversations and do those things in the communities where it's not so big, where the virus is not spreading like wildfire like it is here in Los Angeles and some other parts of the country. Does that make sense?
Yes. And you said quarantine. I noticed you did not say get a test. That's something I've mentioned on the show before. Being in LA, we have free access to testing. Used to be a little bit easier. Now it's a little harder to get it. So I was saying to people that were really skipping the video dating or the phone calls and saying, like, I just want to do social distance dating, like, it might be a good idea to get a test. And I had some listeners that said, but Damona, here where I am, I can't get a test. Would it be more important to have a negative test or to quarantine before you meet somebody? Or both?
Yes and yes to that. So I think you're doing it for me, actually. You're having this nuanced conversation about getting together with people, particularly in terms of dating, and you're drilling down a little bit more, which is exactly what you have to do. So now you're like, okay, I have decided that I'm going to take some time to maybe quarantine, and I've found out where and how I can test in my community, which is great. You have to put them together. We have multiple tools to keep each other safe in the middle of this pandemic, and we have to execute all of them. It's kind of the issue. It's kind of how we've gotten where we've gotten. People are like, oh, well, I'm just going to be in my bubble, but I'm not going to wear a mask. Or I'm only going to wear a mask, but I'm going to see 47,000 people. Or I'm going to get tested 4 times a week, but I'm never going to wear a mask, right? It doesn't work that way. You got to kind of work them together. So if you are someone who can isolate yourself or quarantine yourself from other people for, let's say, at least 5 to 7 days, even like not going to the grocery store, get a test at the end of that 5 to 7 days, quarantine again for another 5 to 7 days, get a test at the end of that period. If you have 2 negative tests and you've not really been around people for 2 weeks, you can be almost certain that you do not have COVID-19 and that you can then go see someone else who's been able to do the same thing. It's best to think about it like an iceberg, if you will, with these tests, because there's kind of 2 different types of tests, right? There's like a rapid test, the antigen test is what that one's called, and then the PCR. Well, the rapid antigen is looking for the iceberg, but it can only detect so much of the iceberg above the water. Well, there might be a huge Titanic sinking iceberg under the water, but the rapid test isn't going to pick it up because it's only looking for the part of the iceberg that's over the water.
And is that like viral loads?
You can kind of think about it that way, yeah. So if you kind of need a higher viral load to trigger that test as positive.
Okay.
So you can have COVID-19. You can even have enough of a viral load to be contagious, but you're not going to get above the water. You're not going to get high enough to trigger that rapid test, mm-hmm. which is in Hollywood and the entertainment industry and the media industry, and a lot of folks who get tested a lot, they use that rapid test, which is why you hear lots of these stories, people being like, well, I was negative yesterday and today I'm positive, or today I started showing symptoms. It's because they probably were just right under the water. And then they got enough viral. Now, the PCR test drains the water down a little bit, so that there's much more of the iceberg above the water. So it's easier to see, oh my, okay, we can steer around this iceberg because there's this huge piece of ice in front of us, versus the rapid antigen test, which is only looking for just like a little bit of the ice above the water. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How do you know which one you're getting? Like, if I'm doing the one with the, you know, city of LA,
uh-huh.
if it's like it needs a day to come back, do I know that that's a PCR test?
Well, I just happen to know because I've gotten tested at the LA County facilities a bunch, the free test. That's a PCR test. It's great. And they're turning those PCRs around fast. Anymore, you can get a PCR that is almost as rapid as a rapid test. Right. In places that have really robust testing. Now, even a month ago, you couldn't really say that in most of the country. You couldn't really say, all right, I can go get a test. I live in Minot, North Dakota. I can go find a test. It's around the corner, blah, blah, blah. That's getting better. I will personally, this is my opinion, I find it very problematic that we are 10 months from lockdown, a year from knowing about this virus, and we still have communities in the United States there where it's hard to find a test. But generally speaking, before you get the test, they give you all this paperwork and stuff with it, or you have to, you know, fill out a form online or whatever. In that paperwork.
Yeah, I threw it on the floor of my car. Yeah, that stuff.
Of your car. Uh-huh. That's where mine is too.
Okay. I was supposed to read that?
It'll say PCR or rapid in there is what I'm getting at. Yeah.
If I read it, I would have seen that. But that's important. I didn't know that. So thank you for clarifying the difference between the tests. Gosh, that seems like a really awkward conversation to have. Like, if you're in the new phase of dating and you're like, can you please quarantine for 5 to 7 days and then take a test and then quarantine for another 5 to 7 days and then take another test and then we can actually meet up? I'm seeing a lot of people, just gonna break it down for you. Dr. Mm-hmm. James Simmons, people are just like, mm-hmm. I talked to him on the phone or I texted with him. And he seemed fine. And I think it would be fine. I mean, I hear it on the show all the time. I thought it would be fine. So I'm hearing people like just really, because bars and restaurants are closed here in LA and in a lot of the country. So they're like, well, I'll just go over to his house because I mean, we can't. I know this is what's happening.
It breaks my heart. I know. And I have friends doing it. To your point, I love this. Like, well, he looked fine. Well, this is what we were saying when we were trying to educate and still educating people about HIV. You can't see HIV. Mm-hmm. You can't meet someone in a bar, especially when you're a few drinks in and be like, well, he doesn't look like he has HIV. So then go home and have sex with him without a condom. Like, it doesn't work that way. And we know that about 40% of people who have COVID-19, the disease that you get from coronavirus, are asymptomatic. So you can't even look at dude or anybody and be like, well, he was kind of short of breath. He was panting when he walked up those steps. So I don't know what's going on. Or, you know, he's got a cough or whatever. 40% of people never have symptoms. So it is a super horrible, awful, awkward conversation to be like, I really like you. We've maybe even had some fun sexy times on the Zoom. Or we've gotten to know each other on this app or whatever it is. I want to actually physically touch you, like see you. But we got to go through all this stuff. It reminds me of the condom conversation, frankly, but just like worse.
Well, let's have the condom conversation since you brought it up. And you are also an excellent resource when it comes to sexual health and wellness. Dr. James Simmons, I feel like I have to use the whole thing now.
Dr. I was going to say, I did not tell Damona she had to say Dr. James Simmons every single time.
Dr. James Simmons of AskTheMP.com. I heard about this thing called super gonorrhea.
Oh,
super gonorrhea. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about this super gonorrhea?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what makes it so super?
It's super bad. It's super annoying. It's super, we don't have antibiotics to kill it. That's what makes it so damn super, and which is just wild to me. So these kind of super STIs, sexually transmitted infections, we've been working on them for a while. So the super gonorrhea actually first made headlines a couple of years ago. There was a gentleman who went on a business trip to from the UK, went on a business trip to Taiwan, mm-hmm. came back 3 weeks later, and mm-hmm. had sex with his wife, mm-mm. also got very sick, ended up in hospital, had to be on really, really, really high dose, super powerful IV antibiotics for weeks in the hospital because they could not figure out an antibiotic to kill his super gonorrhea. Now, normally, as most folks know, we treat gonorrhea and chlamydia together, right? They kind of, they're like besties. They hang out all the time. They're like Kendall and Kylie. They're like always together. I don't know. I'm not the best on pop culture lately because I've been in a hospital for 10 months. But so like they're constantly hanging out and we treat them both. And usually it's like couple of big pills or like a big shot in your butt or both. Well, the shot in your butt or the pills aren't taking care of this gonorrhea. And the issue is there are still a lot of people who are ultimately asymptomatic. So meaning they don't have, you know, they don't drip from the tip of their penis. They don't have discharge, vaginal discharge. They don't have sometimes pelvic pain, right? A lot of women will get pelvic pain with gonorrhea. You don't have any of these symptoms. And then you go on to realize that you had gonorrhea down the road. And particularly in women, it can make you infertile or it can make it conceiving very, very difficult. There's lots of other issues that go along with this untreated gonorrhea. And now what we're finding is this super gonorrhea is spreading more.
You can get it treated and you still have it.
Well, or you get the strain of the gonorrhea that can't be treated with these typical antibiotics. That's probably really what's going on. And it's mostly because we overprescribe antibiotics in general around the world. So everybody who comes in who wants who's got a stuffy nose and wants wants me to give them an antibiotic. And I say, well, I don't think it's a bacteria, which I can treat with an antibiotic. I think it's a virus, which I cannot treat with an antibiotic, right? Doesn't work. But you still want the antibiotic anyway, even just to kind of like feel better about going to see the doctor. Well, that antibiotic that I may or may not have given you inappropriately is causing a resistance. So all the bacteria in your body get resistant to this and sure is shooting.
Thanks for keeping it clean for dates and mates. Sure is shooting.
You're welcome. Yeah. Well, one of those bugs that's gotten resistance to all these antibiotics is gonorrhea. It's actually super frightening.
So it's not about you overtaking antibiotics necessarily. It's like community resistance to antibiotics.
Yeah. So it's like a global antibiotic thing. There are countries that you don't even have to have a prescription to get antibiotics. You can just go to the pharmacist and say, hey, oh, I don't feel great. Here's my symptoms. And the pharmacist will just give you antibiotics. Now, in some developing countries, that's actually really critical. And it's actually helping keep some people healthy because they can't afford to go to the doctor. And, you know, there's a whole infrastructure issue there. But what that means is that everyone's just taking antibiotics for everything. And the bacteria are loving it because they're learning. They're learning how to fight these antibiotics. So you take the antibiotic, it doesn't work anymore. That bacteria just gets stronger. And then if it's gonorrhea, let's say, you don't even know you have it. You go have a tryst with whoever and you pass it on to that person. And then that bacteria just keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Okay, we got to stop this super gonorrhea.
Super gonorrhea.
How do we stop it? How do we prevent ourselves from getting super? What are the big ones now? What are the kids out there slanging? Chlamydia, is that still a thing? Gonorrhea, what's out there?
Well, you know, LA County just has been making news for all the wrong reasons the last couple of years. We were the number two highest ranking place of syphilis, I believe globally there for a couple of years. There were like billboards all around that were like syphilis explosion and whatever.
I know. My child was like, what is syphilis? I'm like, <"Stop." laughs> LA County, why did we need a public billboard for this? They weren't thinking about like the 6-year-olds that were going to be reading.
Right. Rah, it's crazy. But it also, you know, and it goes back to, again, do those type of campaigns work, right? Like, listen, you and I know, everybody listening knows, people are going to do the do when they want to do the do. Mm-hmm. I'm a much more of a believer in harm reduction strategies. So harm reduction meaning, I'm not going to shame you into not having sex. I don't think abstinence is a great policy. Even in the middle of this pandemic, I just, like, the New York Department of Public Health has done a fantastic job of trying to teach people really fun and unique, creative ways to explore themselves sexually and to even date without also putting themselves at risk for coronavirus or sexually transmitted infections. It's New York, right? So it's very different than other parts of the country. But whole campaigns with like leather men with crazy masks on, having someone have some sorts of sex with them that doesn't involve kissing and everyone's got masks on and whatever. They're like, hey, like, not only are you wrapping it up down there, but you're also wrapping it up here. Like, that was one part of their campaign. And I actually think it's kind of great because we're not going to stop people from having sex, nor do I necessarily think we should either.
So a condom will solve most of these problems. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
But not the COVID-19. So put a condom on your penis. Also put a condom on your mouth.
There's mask porn out there. Damona, have you heard about this?
No, I don't want to know, though. Okay, go ahead. Tell me.
There are pornography companies, both gay, straight, middle, and otherwise, that have been making porn now in the pandemic, where they test their performers, they test those on set, they use a skeleton crew, and then everyone wears the masks even while they're performing.
Okay, I could see how that could be interesting. I'll just leave it there.
You'll leave it at interesting.
I'm getting ideas. I could see how that might be interesting and also safe. All right. Well, we covered the big things. We covered COVID-19. We covered STIs. But the thing that I think a lot of people aren't really talking about is the effect of the pandemic on our mental health.
Mm.
I did get a few questions last fall about dating someone with a mental health condition. I feel like I don't know who's not in therapy at this point. It's no secret that I work with BetterHelp. It was one of our advertisers on the show. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan of therapy. But at the same time, I think it's important to just incorporate mental health into the conversation, the dating and relationships conversation. Do you have any tips as an NP, as someone who is on the front lines of this pandemic, for how people can take care of their mental health? And what are some of the signs that either they or someone that they love really needs medical intervention right now?
Mm, very good. I think I'll take this opportunity when you say that right there to give out the number 1-800-273-TALK. It used to be called the National Suicide Hotline. Now it's called the National Lifeline Project. But you can think about it as the Suicide Hotline. 1-800-273-TALK. If you feel like you're in trouble, or you know someone who is, and I think that's really key, and you don't know what to do, you can call that number and say, you know, we've been in lockdown plus or minus 10 months. My friend's really struggling. My family member's really struggling because of these certain signs that we'll get to. I don't know what to do. Can you help me? That number is there. So I always direct people towards that. They also have a presence.
And we'll put it in the show notes too.
Absolutely. Thank you. And that I think that that's their, that is actually their social media handles. It's 1-800-273-TALK. It's at 1-800-273-TALK. There's lots of different resources out there as well for the folks on the LGBTQAI+ spectrum listening. The Trevor Project is fantastic for that, particularly if you're younger. Tons of resources. I tell people to listen to their guts a lot. We know, especially the people in our lives that we really know, even if you haven't seen them in months and you've only seen them virtually, you know when your best girlfriend isn't doing well. And this is the tough part. Ask. And sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. But mental health, particularly when it comes to mental health that may lead someone to being severely depressed and or suicidal, there is no room for gray. You know, I talked about nuanced conversations earlier on about how we maybe date and get together. There is no room for nuance here. Ask forward. Hey, Sarah, I'm worried about you. I think you're depressed. Are you suicidal? Are you going to hurt yourself? Sometimes just the asking of that question will tear down so many barriers, so many doors, and open up an opportunity for Sarah to say to you, no, I'm not suicidal, but man, I haven't slept in 2 months. You know, I actually, you know, you might not have known because, you know, best friends, we do this to each other sometimes. Like, I didn't pay my rent last month because I didn't make enough money. You know, those types of things. And Sarah might actually open up to you because you were the one who took the brave first step of really addressing it head on. So I say that for people who in our lives who are sort of our loved ones and the ones that we're close to. Now, when it comes to dating, it can be really tricky, right? Because there's still, unfortunately, so much stigma around mental health. So if you're someone who has bipolar disorder, like it's probably not the first thing you're going to say on Tinder, Binder, Grindr, Bender, Bumble, whatever those are. You're not going to be like, hey, I'm Jessica. Like, you know, oh, like that shirt's super cute. Like, what are you up to? How's your pandemia going? Yeah. Oh, I have bipolar disorder. Right. Like, that's probably not the first thing you're going to spit out. I think it should be. I think we should start owning this a lot more.
This is radical.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like Halsey, the musician Halsey, Demi Lovato, I think some of these people are really making waves with, and I'm going to say the kids, because Damona, where the kids, I am square on into my 40s right now.
Come on, so, you could pass.
Thank you. Do something about the skin. But you know, the kids, the 20-year-olds, I'll say, even early 30s, sorry, I'm those of you who I'm offending by calling you kids, but the kids have a very different approach to mental health than we do. It's way less stigmatized because so many of the individuals, even Beyonce, even the Queen, even some of the biggest names in politics and entertainment have talked about their own mental health struggles. And so there's less of a stigma, and there's less likelihood that when Jessica mentions in the first conversation with whoever she's talking to on that app that she has bipolar disorder, that other person is going to run from it. Because they probably know someone who has bipolar disorder. They may have it themselves. They may have someone in their families. And what they're learning is that it's not how it's portrayed on TV. It's real people.
I want to ask you, though, I'm with you on this. I think we need to reduce single shame. I think we need to destigmatize a lot of things.
Yes.
And so I'm on board with this, but I'm also hearing in my mind's ear all of my listeners that are like, but if I said that, yes, they would run away. Like, we're not quite there yet. Are there things, maybe you would tell me I'm crazy in even just saying this, but we shouldn't even use that word. We shouldn't, that word is canceled.
I know. And I still use the word. I'm not quite so PC that I don't say the word crazy. I think we just have to tell people, like, you know what I mean when I say I'm crazy.
Like, I'm crazy. Right? Yeah. I'm crazy.
You're right, right.
But maybe I'm wrong for even saying this, but is there something that should come around the reveal of, I have bipolar disorder, I'm on medications for it, and it's managed, or like, this is what you could expect. Like, sometimes I have good days, sometimes I have bad days, just so that people that maybe have only seen it on TV or read about it, you know, in somebody's memoir, maybe they don't really have a frame of reference for what that means.
Content of your conversations is very key, but so is delivery. And I know this is something that kind of you've talked about before in other situations, but like, if you go to someone and you're like, it's the biggest deal on earth, and you make it into the Empire State Building on top of the Burj Dubai, on top of the, you know, Golden Gate Bridge, that this, I have bipolar disorder and I might have to be on medication and it's so big, you're cluing the person you're telling it to that it's that big. Whereas you're like, hey, you know what? A part of my whole mix of all the fabulousness that is me is bipolar disorder. It's kind of a new diagnosis for me, but it tends to make a lot of sense. I think I'm going to start meds for it. I'll totally clue you in on this ride. Okay. If I'm high, if I'm low, if I'm left, if I'm right, whatever. I just really appreciate your support in this. Now, that was really easy for me to say in 10 seconds because I'm practiced at this and I help people do these things. But if you can take that 10 seconds and just throw that at someone like that, it completely changes sort of their perception of bipolar disorder. It's not something they've seen on TV, but you've made it human. You've related it to yourself and sort of given them clues about how to continue the relationship.
You are just a wealth of information. I wish you could be here all the time. I have so many more questions.
Ask all of them. I love talking about, particularly with, you know, I'm as Black/biracial. I don't know what I'm supposed to be anymore, but I am a brown person and queer person, and I think in those communities, we don't talk about mental health enough. So if there are any Black and brown folks listening and queer folks listening, you know, this is why I brought up those resources before. There are also other resources when you're not in crisis mode too, just to be like, you know what? I'm looking for a Black trans counselor because this is maybe I need someone who has my shared experience. Those resources are out there for you. And it is very, very wise to go after them so you can learn. You know, a lot of times we get the best physical and mental health care from people who have our shared experiences because we're more willing to open up to them because we know they've probably felt what we've gone through.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing all these resources. That is what Dates and Mates is all about, to give people the knowledge, the resources, the tools so that we can navigate through this pandemic and beyond together through love. Love will yes. get us through this whole situation. So thank you. Thank you for taking time. So. Honestly, thank you so much for taking time out of your very, very, literally really busy schedule. And honestly, for all that you're doing to help people through this pandemic and to save lives and to make people as comfortable as they can be and to stop the spread. And we could go on and on. You are an angel. And thank you. Thank you for everything you do.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to sort of share this. I really appreciate it. And I just hope I love that you talked about love, right? I do think with our political division and a pandemic and all of this stuff, like, believe it or not, humanity, we've been through worse. And I do think love. You might not like somebody so much, but we all going to love each other. We all going to get through this, right?
We're like one big family. Thank you so much. We will exactly. definitely have you again. Y'all, check out Ask the NP. You do still this live stream, yes?
Yeah, live stuff. I'm mostly active on Instagram and Twitter, and it's all at Ask the NP. I'm trying this TikTok thing, but I think I'm too old for that. I don't know.
I like sign on, and then I was like, too much to learn. I don't know. I just got on Clubhouse, you guys. I just got on Clubhouse.
Dude, I listened to a Tiffany Haddish conversation on Clubhouse the other day. That was wild. It was awesome.
Okay, let's be Clubhouse friends.
Okay, totally.
But in the meantime, everybody, follow Dr. James Simmons at Ask the NP. Instagram is wonderful, wonderful Instagram live videos that are entertaining and informative. So much more. Check him out, and we will definitely have him back on Dates and Mates. Again, this is vitally important. If you or someone you know is facing a mental health challenge, the number to call for help is 1-800-273-TALK. Y'all, I love me some Dr. James Simmons. I hope you will be following Ask the NP on social. I certainly do. Now, stick around, because your questions are coming right up in Dear Damona. You have questions, I have answers. It's time for our favorite segment.
Dear Damona.
Damona, help me.
Listener EW on IG sent in this question. She said, I've tried online dating several times with no real success, i.e., a long-term relationship. At 45, I'm tired of reading profiles that state, I'm looking for my soulmate or the love of my life. And hello, beautiful. They all make me want to gag. Even though I want a relationship, it has to start with a friendship, which is what my profile states I'm looking for. I want the friendship to be the foundation and grow organically into more. Do you have any suggestion for sites to try? Because is it me, or do people no longer know how to have a normal conversation? Favorite emoji of mine, facepalm emoji, to punctuate the already very well-written question. Thank you so much, EW. Let's break it down, because there's a few questions in here. In terms of saying what you want, I think you're sending a wee bit of mixed messaging just in terms of dating app speak. When somebody reads friendship, they assume that means you're not there for serious dating. So a lot of these hello, beautiful, like messages, they make me giggle. Pickup lines make me laugh. But anyways, these hello, beautiful messages, the generic messages that don't sound like they were crafted for you, they sound like they could be written for anybody. A lot of times those come in when you don't have a meaningful connection, when somebody is just kind of looking for a little wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, or a little bit of just being able to find someone to chat with in that moment. I would say you should state off the bat what you are looking for. And I would go ahead and delete that whole needing friendship. I think that's a given, right? Like, I don't know that many people that are like seeking relationship from day one, like need you to commit after the first date. I think a friendship to grow into more is implied. But if, as you say in your own words, you are really looking for a relationship and you're looking for the soulmate and love of your life, I just, there's something very interesting to me in the phrasing of it and how the very thing that you want most is the thing that is turning you off the most. I think there's a little bit of maybe journaling, maybe unpacking to happen around that. Like, why are you having that reaction? Okay, we won't go all the way there, but I'll leave you to do that homework. I do want to answer your question about sites to try. I say this like almost on every episode, but I'll say it again. It's not the site. It's not the app that you're using. It's the way that you're using it. And you have to be proactive to get, I go back to last week's episode on how to be proactive and boost yourself in the algorithm, but there's no magic pill. Everybody wants me to just say like, oh, well, everyone I know meets on OkCupid. And yes, I am a spokesperson for OkCupid and I love the brand and I love the format. I love the questions and I love it. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily right for you where you are at this point in your life with the people that you're looking to meet at the city that you're in. So you got to try it out. Use it, like I said earlier, like the love lab of your life. Dip your toe into different apps, try out different features, see what you like. But is it just you, or do people no longer know how to have a normal conversation? No, girl, it's not just you. We literally have forgotten, and we are rapidly forgetting even more. Conversation skills, they're a soft skill that can be learned and are only learned through human interaction. I suppose you could have an AI conversation or like fall in love with a computer like in the movie Her, what have you, but that's not what we're looking for. So the more that we are isolated and only talking to people over, you know, DMs or texts, the more we're going to forget that skill set of really connecting. So are we going to be upset? Like, do you want to carry that frustration about people not knowing how to have a normal conversation? Are you going to model the behavior that you are hoping to attract back and not fall into the texting trap? Like, actually encourage people to engage in conversation and lead by example there. Because you're not wrong. It's definitely happening. As always, the question is, what do you do with the situation once you are aware of it? This next question comes to us from Vanessa. Vanessa is a new listener of the show. Hello. She says, I'm a 25-year-old female living in NYC, one of my favorite cities. I met a guy off of Hinge a few months ago. We saw each other twice. Both times, he canceled initially, once because of a supposed injury, and again because he said he was recently around someone who may have had COVID. After the second time, I thought he was ghosting me because I didn't hear from him, but he texted me a week or two later saying he took a spontaneous trip to California and Colorado. I told him I didn't want to see him again because I felt that there was a lack of honesty in communication. He apologized and said he didn't mean to be dishonest. Y'all hearing this? That's a red flag right there. Put a pin in that. Moving on. He apologized and said he didn't mean to be dishonest. Fast forward to now, 2 months later, he texted me wanting to hang out. All of my friends think I shouldn't waste my time, but I did enjoy hanging out with him and want to give him another chance. What do you think? Am I being naive? Vanessa, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I'm not going to slap labels on you, but I am going to tell you, your friends have a point here. Well, a lot of times they can see the things that are not apparent to us because what happened? You caught a little bit of feelings, didn't you, Vanessa? It's kinetic, right? You start to feel that energetic flow with someone. And in that one moment with them, what was it, 2 hours in those, you know, each of those dates, maybe you spent 4 hours with him, you started to feel that, that chemistry. But you've heard me say on the show before, chemistry is what? A liar. Chemistry is a liar. And I will quote one of my faves, Maya Angelou, who said, if someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Don't make them prove it to you again and again. He showed you who he is. What I see in this is, I mean, he said he was being dishonest. He just went dark and then said he was in California and Colorado, but then kind of admitted he was even lying about that because why would he say he was being dishonest? he was being non-communicative. Those are two different things. So I will mark him down for dishonesty. I will also mark him down for lack of communication. I will also mark him down for canceling on you. I don't care what the reason is. He could still have done a virtual date with you, or he still could have had a phone call with you to let you know that the time that you set aside to be with him was still important to him, even if he couldn't get out of bed or if he had to be quarantined, which, you know, is a very responsible thing to do if he was exposed to someone who had COVID. But Vanessa, you're 25. You have, I'm sure, tons of dating options. You have your whole life ahead of you. You could not be wasting your time with fools like this, because they will take as much time of yours and as much of your emotions as you let them take. Do not give this fool another chance. You are not being naive, but you're being optimistic and falling for chemistry in a time where we need to trust our head over our heart. I don't always say that, but right now, that's the situation that you're in. The facts are on the page. And honey, you deserve better. Thank you to everyone who submitted questions this week. We are always taking new questions. I got a few in queue. So if yours didn't get answered yet, please keep listening. I promise it is in the queue, and you can always bump yourself up to the top of the stack by sending a voice memo so we can use your question on the show in a voice memo. You can DM it to me on Instagram at Damona Hoffman, or send it to me in an email, damona@damonahoffman.com. This is episode 343 of Dates and Maids. You can join me in following James Simmons at Ask the NP. I'll put the link in the show notes. I honestly turn to him to know the latest scoop on the virus and so much more. So do follow him. You can also listen to his nationally syndicated talk radio program on Channel Q on radio.com. And remember, if you're ready to learn the secret, then join me for the Dating Secret Circle, which starts on January 20th. It's registration is open now at thedatingsecret.com. Of course, the link is in the show notes. You're subscribed, right? You've shared this episode with a friend, right? You've left us a 5-star review, right? Then you're good to go. Until next week. Until then, I wish you happy dating.